172.
John chapter 20 and reading verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master of my heart. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and toward the end of verse 3. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Just enjoyed the thought that the first thing recorded is that the Lord Jesus dried up tears as an earnest of comfort to us, and of the final act when God, with that tender action of his own hand, dries up all tears forever. one more reference in Psalm 85. That is Psalm 84. And verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Shall we praise him together? Oh, blessed God and our Father,
bring before us the 14th of John. I know it's a portion we often take up on an occasion like this, but there are two things the Lord brings out before his own. He brings before them the hope of his coming again to cheer and comfort their hearts, and then the Spirit of God is the comforter, the one that would meet their present need, minister Christ to them according to that need while they waited for that time. Chapter 14 of Luke, of John's Gospel. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. But verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than ye shall do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which he hears is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me the commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
So it's often been pointed out that the context of a portion is very important when it comes to the Word of God. And I think it's beautiful and helpful to see the context of this portion that we have read and this promise that is given in the beginning of the 14th chapter concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own. You get the context by going back to the 13th chapter in the first verse. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Well, this gives us the setting here. The Lord Jesus knew that he was going to return to the glory after the work of eternal redemption was accomplished on the cross. He had told his own that he had come from God and he must return to God. And as the disciples had walked with the Lord Jesus during his public ministry, he had provided everything that was needed for them. When their hearts were troubled and broken over the death of John the Baptist, they came to the Lord and they told him everything. And he drew them into the desert place and said, come ye apart and rest a while. When the multitudes were hungry, he fed them. When Peter needed a piece of money to pay his tax, he said, go and cast a hook into the sea. And there was the fish with the piece of money. And the Lord said, go and pay for me and for thee also. He provided everything that was needed for them. But now he wasn't going to be physically with them in this world the way he was during his public ministry. He was going to leave them and return to the Father. And I think it's beautiful to see this whole upper room ministry in the light of the Lord Jesus calling his own aside before he leaves them. And he says, as it were, now I'm going to provide everything that's needed for you in my absence. It's true, I'm going to be at the right hand of God. I'm going to be in the glory, but everything is going to be provided for you. And so in the 13th chapter, he brings before them the refreshment of foot washing, the practical application of the Word of God in our lives. In the 15th chapter, he brings before them the joy of abiding in the vine and fruit bearing. He brings before them in the 16th chapter the Spirit of God as the power for their lives and the one that would lead them into all truth. And in the 17th chapter, he brings before them, or he prays for them as he lifts his eyes to heaven, and it was looking on to that day when he would pray for his own at the right hand of God as our high priest, of which we were meditating in the prayer meeting and singing of this morning. But here in the 14th chapter, he brings before them these two things that I mentioned. First of all, a hope, and then the Spirit of God as the comforter. Because he knew their hearts were troubled as they thought of him leaving. But he says, you look on to a day when I'll come again, and in the meantime, the Spirit of God will minister to you myself according to your need. And so it's beautiful, brethren, to look on to the coming day of glory. We need that hope before us, but to realize too that as we sit here with the Word of God before us this morning, we have full provision in the Word. We have the Spirit of God to take it and make it good to our souls and to minister Christ to us according to our need, because God does two things for his people and always did in any age. He always gave them a hope and he always gave them a present portion.
Believe it be well to ask the question, how far away is the Father's house? What do you say to that, Doug?
Well, I thought when you said that, Brother Ron, how far away is the Father's house? It's wherever the Lord Jesus is, and he's told us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So there's a sense in which his presence is there. We can't measure it by distance, but by faith, there is that aspect that it's where he is. He's ascended, he's at the right hand of God in glory, but he's also with each one of us too. So in one aspect, I was just thinking as you said that, it's not very far away.
We can say it's closer than we realize. When we first contemplate our departure out of this world into the presence of the Lord, we think of quite a distance that we may have to travel, but as we learn to know him and his nearness, a godly brother once said, there's but a thin veil that separates us, and that veil is going to be broken and we're going to be there.
The Lord Jesus is the only one that says there, but we have in his word information about the Father's house, and so we can be curious and say yes. But one thing that Brother Jim mentioned that is in this chapter also is that the Lord Jesus and the Father will come to us and make their abode with us. In a spiritual way, he's with us. You know, that's one of the most blessed experiences that the believer has while the Lord Jesus is away. But notice that it's connected with obedience. The enjoyment of this cannot be separated from obedience.
I think that's important, Brother Hines, and I've enjoyed the way it's translated in Mr. Darby's translation, because if you notice in verse 2 where he speaks of the mansions, in Mr. Darby's translation he translates it abodes. It's the same word that's used in the 23rd verse where he says, I'll just read the verse that you alluded to. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, or Mr. Darby puts it in the singular, word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So as we've been saying, there's two things. We look on.